So this weekend, there's the Plaza Arts Fair, Billy Joel, Billy Idol, the Fall Out Boys, and a noon Chiefs game. And you made it to church. I'm so proud of you. And the weather is spectacular. I mean, you know. How many of you know somebody you think is wise? When I say think of a wise person, what comes to mind? Is the person young or older? Do they look like Yoda? What do we think of when we think that someone has great wisdom? Maybe we can think of people who've been able to give us advice, who've been able to talk to us in ways, been able to guide us along different paths, or might be people that we go to because they're quiet, and when they speak with wisdom and authority. But think about that for a minute, and listen again to this great sentence from what James writes. Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. With gentleness born of wisdom. There's a great children's book called Alberic the Wise. Have any of you ever read it or heard of it? Some of you maybe? Good, if you haven't, because it means I don't have to tell you exactly what it's in it. Just kidding. Alberic the Wise is a story that's a journey. So it's meant to teach a child about a whole life experience. And Alberic, in the beginning of the story, is a young person who's living in his village. And the scene takes place sort of Renaissance or pre-Renaissance time. And Alberic is sitting there in the village, and his whole world is shaken by this visitor who comes from the village that's sort of an older person who comes in and contains incredible wisdom. And the whole time, Alberic wants to hear everything this person says and then aspires, I want to be just like that person. And the person challenges Alberic and says, go into the world and find something to do and do it really well. But that's sort of your task. And so the next scene is Alberic is a little older and he begins his apprenticeship and he decides, I'm going to be a glass blower or a glassmaker. So I'm going to join this tradecraft, and he goes to the person who's leading it, and he asks if he can be an apprentice. He's welcomed into the apprenticeship, and then you hear about how he learns how to make all these wonderful things, and then the day comes for him to pass his test, and the test is simple. He has to make something on his own and not model it after others. He has to show his artistry. So he goes to work on making this glass thing, and he's got the glass heated up, he's blowing it, he's doing all the different things he's supposed to do, and then he brings it out to show it to the master glassmaker, right? And it's awful. And the master glassmaker says, Alberic, you have failed. You will not. You will not be a glassmaker. You need to go and find something else. And so then Alberic is, he's torn apart. He feels that he's a failure, but then he decides that, well, there's buildings that are made with tremendous stones, and he says, that's what I want to do, because if I learn how to do that, I'll be wise and I can contribute to society. And he goes and he gets into the apprenticeship to learn to be a stone maker. He learns all about tucking and pointing and about how to do the masonry and how to carve the stone and how to pick the right stone, and he's learning, and then the day comes and it's time for his test, and he has to take a piece of stone and make it into something. And he starts chipping away, and eventually he gets down, and it's rubble. And the stone, the master stone builder comes and says, Alberic, you will not be a stonemason. And this goes on and on in the story. Everywhere that Alberic goes, he cannot master whatever it is, and he gets to a point in his life, and he sort of just doesn't feel like he knows anything, and he sort of wanders off into the wilderness to be by himself, and he would never be that great wise person. Transition, there's sort of a tragedy. The community is lost. The wisdom is lost. Alberic comes walking into town. And suddenly, there are people who don't know quite how to blow the glass, quite how to make the stones, quite how to carve the wood, quite how to grow the things that they need to grow, how to make stuff. And suddenly, there is this person who has insurmountable wisdom of all the different ways of the world that he's gone from community to community to learn. You know, he's sort of Encyclopedic Britannica on steroids, you know. And they keep coming to him, and suddenly he finds himself being that person of wisdom, but he can't see it. Because he still feels that he never quite measured up. And he shares. I love that children's story for all kinds of reasons. Obviously, it's meant to tell a child about having lifelong learning and about, you know, you might not always be good at everything you try, but to try it all. There's all kinds of wonderful pieces to it, but there's also some real truth. But think again about what James is talking about. How do we get to that wisdom? How many of you have ever been preparing for a change in your life or something in your life, and you've had somebody say, oh, you'll understand once you've been through it? Or once you get there, you'll know what I'm talking about. We'll have a conversation. How many of you have ever received lots of advice that was worthless? Okay, how many of you have received advice from me that was worthless? Okay, only about 5 of you raised your hands. That's good. I'm doing pretty well. So, just kidding. But maybe we don't think about that, but what does it mean for us to obtain that kind of wisdom? Well, James writes a little later in his writing, and he describes what the wisdom is. He says, but wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then willing to yield, then full of mercy, good fruits, and without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Peaceable, gentle, yielding, merciful, fruitful, without partiality or hypocrisy. Gentle wisdom, born of experience, born of going around the world, born of seeing all the different things that we have to go through in our life, suddenly becomes more real, and yet we all know it when we see it, don't we? We all know it when we're in the presence of someone who has that wisdom. We all know it when we encounter that true sense of authentic understanding of that wiseness, and yet I think we also seek it. But think how different the world would be around us if we began acting out of our wisdom with gentleness. Think how different our own lives might be if we take those 10 breaths, if we pause, if we take time for reflection, if we take time to think, time to be, before we react or to do, or how we might treat another person. Now let's talk about the gospel for just a minute. Jesus is always sort of turning the tables with the apostles, and we're going to be in a series of readings that's about that very thing, about how the tables are sort of being turned in terms of understanding. The apostles are sort of, he sort of tells them, you know, you're going to go to hell for sure. And there's a sort of passage right before this, there's all this, and then he's walking in, he's coming into Capernaum. Capernaum is not too far from the Sea of Galilee. It's thick, dark stone buildings. There's kind of a grassy hill up this way. You can see quite a ways around it. Lots of old olive trees around Capernaum. And he's sitting there, and they're arguing. And Jesus says to them, what are you arguing about? And what are they arguing about? Well, who the best apostle is, right? What any good Christian would do. They're arguing about who the greatest is, and Jesus gets frustrated, like Jesus often does with his apostles, but they're doing exactly what their culture would say that they're to do at the time. When you're based in a culture that's based on your status, on where you sit, on your position in the temple, on your rank, on all of these different things, then everything is dependent on that, and so the apostles are doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and Jesus says, no, you've got it wrong. We live in a very competitive culture, don't we? We live in a culture that talks a lot about excellence, a lot about achievement. We measure ourselves in all kinds of ways. We're graded. We're, you know, determined. Even when you take a small child, you're given their percentage ranking, right? Meant to give us health status, but we often use it how? Well, my child's in the 90th percentile. we're ranked and we're measured and we're determined. And I always tell people, if you really want to understand how people are fighting for rank and different stuff, just go to the banquet at diocesan convention and watch the clergy as they try to sit at the bishop's table. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not judging. Maybe it was me. I don't know. But status is important to us. And then Jesus says, it's possible. Okay, whoever will be first must be last and servant of all. And he takes a child, and he says, whoever welcomes one and such child and welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. We have to remember that children in Jesus' time are not thought of as precious. Children are not thought of as a separate part of society in which they're encouraged to be childlike. In fact, you would have dressed them as adults, and as soon as they could labor, they would have been laboring. They would not have been seen as necessarily as valued. And then Jesus is saying, but be like this child that's in the midst of you, and this is what it is to be the kingdom of God. Accept God as this child would. Accept God as this, as this. And that's what it means for the last to be first. A child in the time of Jesus would have eaten the crumbs of the table. The child would not have been dining with the adults. The child would have been thought of later. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of different things that we're saying. And Jesus is saying, that's who's first. Turning the tables. It's a different kind of wisdom. It's a wisdom that teaches something very different. And so how do we live into that gentle wisdom in our lives? How do we go about doing that in our daily places? I really do think that the world is changed when we go about that, but it might take us a while to get to that wisdom. Alberic is going through time and time again, failing. Time and time again, never quite measuring up. Time and time again, and then suddenly finds himself as the person who contains that very wisdom. And so part of it is we have to get ourselves positioned to receive it. Part of it is we have to be willing to be people who self-examine. Sometimes we have to be willing to be open to what God is doing in our life. So think about that this week as you go about your life, what it means for you to embrace James's idea of living a life in which your works show the gentle wisdom from which you're moving. It's really about being authentic in your heart, authentic in what you believe, authentic to who you are as a child of God, and leading from that and being that gentle presence to others. And don't we need that wisdom now? Amen.